Hello and welcome to another edition of Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm your host, DJ Dossman, and today we're going to be talking about backups. I'm going to kind of dive into a couple of different types of backups. I'm going to cover a couple different pieces of software for one type of backup I'm going to cover, and talk about the hardware setup, and then kind of go over some other concepts and such. First, the backups that I used to make early on of my systems were basically you power the system down, you boot it off of floppy disk with Norton Ghost or Clonezilla or something, and then you either burn it to a local CD or DVD, or you can, you know, shoot it over the network to your, you know, your Ghost Cast server or whatever you're going to do with it. And that's nice. That gets a full, complete backup of your system. However, the downside to that is it's pretty manual, and your system has to be down for this to happen. And because of that, I don't think a lot of people do those often enough. I know I don't. What I really like, and what I've come to really appreciate about what we use at work, is an online backup system that backs up stuff over the network and automatically tracks incrementals and runs while the system's up, so your production systems don't have to be down. And so I started looking around for an open source way to do this on my own, for my own systems at home. And so what I came across were two different packages. One is called Amanda, and that's been the good old standby for, I don't know, 15, 20 years now. And basically, it's called Amanda for, it was originally created by the University of Maryland, I believe. And basically, it's a loose-knit collection of different scripts and programs all packaged together with a server, and basically it runs as a daemon. And so when it runs, you know, just every night, it just scans your system for files that have changed, and that's your incremental. That your incremental backup gets, you know, it shoots off files that have changed on your each of your servers over to a central storage backup system. Of course, the server component on the backup system then saves, automatically manages, you know, writing all the backups to tape for you. Typically, with a larger installation, you're going to have, you know, an array of multiple tape drives and a tape library, you know, a robot moving tapes in and out. You can also do that, you know, they could store, I don't know if Amanda does this yet, stores to local storage pools on local storage, like online hard drives, basically. So you don't have to have the tape drives for the backups. But Amanda has been the standby for people doing stuff like that. And it mostly is intended for working with Unix or Linux systems. Windows systems, I think there's kind of a sort of a hacked way to do that using SMB shares and such, Samba, to get backups of your Windows systems using Amanda. I really wanted something a little less clumsy, and I stumbled across another package called Bacula, and their slogan is, "It comes by night and sucks the vital essence from your computers." And it came about in 2000, 2001 or so, I think, and it's all of a sudden has some very strong development behind it, and has surpassed Amanda quite a bit by its features, capabilities, and robustness, I think, which is kind of unfortunate for the Amanda folks. It's a good Amanda's a good thing, but anyway, this Bacula product can basically, it's all completely distributed, so you can have like a single tape drive on each, you know, several different computers, and you can have those act as agents that receive, you know, you have a central backup server that kind of, you know, pulls the strings and manages all the backups to these other systems that have the storage. All your client systems back up to the main Bacula server. And you could also just have a standalone Bacula system if you have multiple tape drives hanging off this one system or a tape library. So that's what it does. Commercial products in the same area, of course, if you're familiar with TSM or Legato Networker, ArcServe, Backup Exec, these are all very, very expensive commercial products that basically do what I just described, network backups with your systems online. So anyway, I decided I wanted to do something like this on my own, for my own systems, because after a while you get so many different laptops, computers running and stuff, and you don't keep good backups of them. And so I also just happen to have an Exabyte EXB210 dual drive, 10 cartridge, 10 tape auto changer that I acquired, and I still got to get some tape drives to put into it. But basically, any 8 millimeter tape drive will work with this thing. That will be compatible with the robot, the Gripper. It's pretty slick. I've had it for a couple of years, but when I decided I'd never actually hooked it up and actually like used it, and so I sat down and basically to get an auto changer to work with Linux, there's a couple things you're going to have to do. Obviously, you've got to get your SCSI card set up. I was using a future domain PCI card, which worked fine under Fedora Linux, Fedora 5. You know, it's pretty old, but I've got a system that I'd use that's Fedora 5. And for experimentation and stuff. And that worked fine. I could control the accessor. But under CentOS 5, which is basically Red Hat Enterprise Linux, I have not been able to get the thing to work. And the driver keeps crashing anytime I try to use it. I don't know if it's an application problem or a driver problem, but I'm kind of suspecting it's a driver problem at this point, because CentOS doesn't come with this driver by default, whereas Fedora did. And I was able to get it to compile, but anyway, there's some problems I've had. So basically, how do you use an auto changer with Linux? Of course, you mod probe your SCSI card. Most tape libraries use the SCSI generic Linux device driver set, and so that rides on top of above the your SCSI card stack. And then also, you're going to have the SCSI tape or ST driver for your tape drive, and your SCSI changer is going to be a SCSI ID on your SCSI bus. Your tape drives will be separate IDs, also on the same bus. So basically, you can cat slash proc slash SCSI slash SCSI, and if your SCSI driver is initialized properly, you'll see both the auto changer and the SCSI tape drive. And from that point, you're good to go to try with the MTX command, and you can check out the man page on that for flags and how to use it, obviously. And you'll reference the SCSI generic device. Once the SG module is initialized into the kernel, you'll have a couple of devices out in out in your dev file system, and usually, like, you'll have at least SG0 and SG1. Those will represent the auto changer and the SCSI tape, even though you won't access the tape with the SCSI generic interface to it. You'll use your regular RMT or whatever low-level device you have that your OS provides for that. The thing about SCSI generic is basically just very low-level SCSI interface, so it just lets commands throw data at the SCSI bus, throw commands and stuff, and so that's why auto changers are typically accessed with a SCSI generic. So once you get those things working, then the next layer, the actual user commands, is going to be MTX. And there's a couple different user space commands for accessing your tape changer, but MTX is pretty much the good old standby that I think everyone uses. Amanda uses MTX in order to manipulate the auto changer. Bakula uses MTX, and I think they can use some other utilities too. But MTX, that's the good way to go. And it'll do some verification. You can do some, just basic status information from your library. I've got a little script. When I had it working under Fedora, I could have it just, move the robot back and forth and move tapes automatically, just as kind of an exercise. So that was a lot of fun to see working. So, like I said, we were describe some of the application software that rides on top of it. So anyway, once you get these layers of things set up and you get your application software up, either Amanda or Bacula or possibly something else, then basically you should be able to have nightly incremental backups of all your files. I, for the most part, I've got a lot of like text notes that I have, personal documentation that I write for myself. I've had a growing library of like video and photos and stuff that need to be archived a little bit better than I currently do. So that's some of the things that I intend to use with it. I'm having some problem. I haven't actually gotten Bacula up and running yet, but that's mostly because I switched mid process to a new system. I got a dedicated piece of hardware just to run Bacula on, and unfortunately, like I said, I've been having some problems with CentOS. But once I can get those issues resolved, then I'll go ahead and start working again with Bacula. And the thing with Amanda and Bacula, the trade-off of having a very convenient, nice backup server, it takes quite a bit of configuration and massaging to get these things to work right. You've got, exclude lists. Like there might be certain directories on your system that you don't want backed up. I don't know, things like obviously you don't want it to mess with proc. There's no reason for it to be touching anything under there and other file systems and such. So it's going to take some tuning. There's going to be quite a few concepts you're going to have to get your head wrapped around. I know Bacula tries pretty hard to explain these concepts early on to help you make the right decisions to configure the system the way you need. Some of the Amanda documentation really seems to be kind of, they're switching from their older style of documentation to a wiki, and it seems like there's a lot of stuff. It's just really in the middle of a transition right now. My apologies to the Amanda folks if they've worked out all those issues since I've looked at it, but it seems like they're unfortunately they were kind of overtaken, it seems like, with the functionality in Bacula there. But that's basically a good, robust backup system, how you would use it, how to set it up. I'll have some notes on the Hacker Public Radio for some of these different things I've talked about. So anyway, have a good day, enjoy, and I'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.